ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد أيها الإخوة والأخوات في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته The next chapter of the book Qulub al-Maram of book Kitab al-Zakah is Bab Qasmi al-Sadaqat Bab Qasmi al-Sadaqat The topic of the chapter of contribution of As-Sadaqat The Sadaqat being referred to here most likely is Sadaqatu Tariqa the compulsory one That is what is being referred to here. As you have in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا وَالْمُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ To the gate of the vast. That is sadaqat is for the fuqara wal-masakeen, the fuqara and the masakeen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word Fuqara here to refer to the poor people or the ones that are poor here to refer to the compulsory sadaqa which is the zakah that is compulsory. So when we say sadaqa here, we are referring to the compulsory sadaqa, not sadaqa of the tatawwu that we have just concluded the discussion. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ The same evidence that tells us about the distribution of the compulsory zakat in the verse in Surah Al-Tawbah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the 8 rules that are recipients of the compulsory zakat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned al-fuqara, who is a faqir. A faqir is the one who does not have what to eat. The same thing is applicable to the miskeen. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned al-faqir and also mentioned al-miskeen, this tells us the difference between the two. The word faqir can be used with the word miskeen interchangeably. But when both of them are mentioned in the hadith or in the verse, that means there is a slight difference between the two of them, just like the word Islam and Iman. When the word Iman is mentioned, definitely Islam is part and parcel of it. And when the word Islam is mentioned, definitely the word Iman is part and parcel of it. But when both of them are used together in hadith that Islam will be referring to the outfires act. Why Islam is referring to the inside act. But when one of them is mentioned, the other is also included. So the same thing is applicable here. When we mention Al-Fatih, Al-Miskin is also included. And when we mention Al-Miskin, Al-Fatih is also included. But when both of them are mentioned in a single verse, that means they are referring to different things. There is slight difference between the two of them. So this is what we should note. Now what is the difference between the two of them, between Al-Faqir and Al-Miskin? So some scholars will say Al-Faqir is somebody who does not have what to eat or does not have what to satisfy his needs. He doesn't have at all. Or he doesn't have what to satisfy his needs. Why Al-Miskin is somebody who has, but what he has is not enough. He has, but what he has is not enough. So some scholars will use them interchangeably by saying the reverse, that Al-Miskin is somebody who does not have what to eat. Or they will say Al-Miskin is somebody who does not have what to be enough for him. Whatever be the case, it has been established that there is difference between the two of them. Whether the difference is slight or not. The Prophet of Allah sallam said later in his king, the Arab Kawab, الذي تركه لقمة أو لقمتان. Al-Miskin is not this one that is going around the people, going to appeal, approach the people. When he gives a lukma, a mosque, he will leave them. Or when he is given to himself, he leaves them. He said, إنما الفقير فإنما المسكين الذي لا يجد غنى يغنيه ولا يدفع فضله فيتفضل عليه. Al-Miskin is the one that doesn't have what is sufficient for him. And the people do not recognize him so that they can give him some of them. That means what he has is not enough. For that side, these people do not know that this man does not have much. So they don't give him. So Al-Faqir, and someone that the people know that this person is poor, maybe he made them know that he's a niche. So scholars, they tend to differentiate between the two. But the most important thing is that both of them are qualified. Whether somebody doesn't have what to eat at all, or somebody who has, but what he has is not enough. Both of them, they are among the recipients of zakat. الله سبحانه وتعالى قال إنما الصدقات للفقراء والمساكين then he mentioned والعاملين عليها العاملين عليها those who are working on the zakat العاملين عليها هي at the corner of the stage that they are those that the government, the Islamic government have asked to go to people who are supposed to pay their zakat. They are to collect the zakat. They are the amilun aliyah. Those who are working on this, working on the collection. So this person must be somebody that will be representing the government. That is, the government has charged the person with the task of collecting the zakat. So this person will be Al-Amil Alayha. If the government has not tagged the person with the collection of his zakat, but the fourth thing, will it be called Al-Amilu Aliha? Some scholars said, no. He will be Al-Amilu Fiha. Somebody who is what? Working in it. And this is when somebody made an agent, for instance, of another person. Take for instance, I'm supposed to pay my zakat, but I don't know those to give. And I give it to you that assist me in giving the zakat to his recipient. So when you take this zakat from me, are you al-amilu alayha or you are al-amilu fiha? A lot of scholars said that such a point is al-amilu fiha, not al-amilu alayha, because it's not somebody that is appointed by the government to collect fees. Rather, it's assisting the one who is supposed to, who's supposed to do this thing by himself. And the situation where this thing gets lost, for instance, you give someone your zakat to assist you in delivering the zakat. If the zakat gets lost, you are still going to pay another one. Because the person that you have given is to, that person is not representing the government. It's not representing the Islamic government. Or rather, the person is representing you, it's your agent. So if the zakat has not gotten to its recipient, if the zakat gets lost along the line, that means you have not paid it. But if the zakat gets lost, if the person who is collecting it from you is representative of the government, that means the zakat has gotten to its place. And this is what you also understand very well. And that's why a lot of scholars, the opinion that it is not permissible for the charitable organizations, or it's not permissible for a lot of Islamic centers to be collecting zakat from people. Because if they collect zakat from people, and if this thing gets lost along the line, they have not paid zakat. Secondly, if they collect zakat from people, are they entitled to the share of the army in the Alewa? Are they entitled to that? So many scholars have said no. However, some scholars have the opinion that they can take from the, but it must be the ma'aruf without speaking his tongue. Because somebody did not establish an organization and said to people, bring your zakat to us, who assist you in distributing the zakat. And when the zakat gets to them, the next thing is for them to eat it up. And when you ask, where is the zakat that you have given you? He said that this is al-amilu alayhi. There is nobody to call such a person. There is no government to call the person. And that is why a lot of Islamic organizations today, Islamic societies, they collect zakat from people, and when they collect zakat, they use it to execute their own programs. Not that they will give it to the recipients, to those who are entitled to the zakat. And that's why the statement of scholars who say that this zakat that is composed should not be given to the charitable organization, that if one gives it to them, you have just taken them as your agent until they deliver it to those who are entitled to it, you have not paid your zakat until they deliver it to those who are entitled to it. Then the zakat is still with them, and like the zakat is with us, it's still with you, because they are agents. It's not the Islamic government that has placed them, or that has backed them with this collection. And it's something that we ought to study critically and ponder upon. That when you are given somebody to give zakat, or if you are the person is known as your wakil, not amilu alayha, it's your own wakil. So if the person is somebody that you trust, if in our and the person thinks of without letting you know, and you believe that they are given it, then you will be the one that is the responsible before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this, he lets you know that if it's of the money or if it's of the zakat, then you are going to be another one. Because that person is your own wakil, it's not the wakil of the government. And that's why the wisdom of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, any person can just get up and say, okay, I want to be among the amil, ala amil min alayhi. It is only those that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appoints that can be among the amil min alayhi. If you are not appointed by the government, then it can be al-amil alayhi. So this is what would happen in the type of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in the absence of the Islamic government in a country like ours, some centers, so Islamic centers, will take the position of the Islamic government. There is no problem with this. But not that they will take the position of the Islamic government absolutely. And that's why one has to be very, very careful. When you are given your zakat, you say you are given your zakat, so the Islamic center or the Islamic organization that you know you have trust in, not those that will be using it to execute their own partner program that was not fall under those who are supposed to collect, or those who are the recipients or the beneficiaries of zakat. So وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا وَالْمُؤَلَّفَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ and the مُؤَلَّفَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, those that the Islamic government is trying to draw them near, those that the Islamic government is trying to make them have good opinion of Islam. These are two categories. Either Muslims that are not well established in Islam, the Islam is vicious, or non-Muslims who have faith in their, among their people. That is, their people have respect for them. And this kuffar, if some of the people who embrace Islam, if they do not, if you do not do some good things to them, I mean the, to the leader of the community, if you do not do some things to them, they may block other people from whom embracing Islam. Who will do embrace Islam among their slaves, they victimize them and things like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to also do things that we use to do ta'lif of the qulub, to make Islam dear to them, to make them appreciate Islam. So people like this, the Prophet Allah will give them from the zakat. And I give some of them 100 camels or more than that. Like one of them was given and he went back to his people that no, this Islam is good. Muhammad is giving people without even counting it. Come and embrace Islam. So people like this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages all to be for Allah back to be. So if they are known as Al-Mu'allafatu, so they will be. those that one is trying to endure Islam to them by giving them clothes, by giving them things. This is not right. This is not wrong, it's not right. But at times, there may be a necessity for you to do something in order to watch, in order to have your way. Say for instance, you are supposed to get something, your right. Your right is with somebody. But that person will not make you have your right. Will not make you get your right until you give him something. If you not give him, he has the power to block that right of yours and you lose everything. Is it permissible Islamically to give such a person something so that God can get your right? Yes, it is permissible. Have you given him bread? No, you have not given him bread. You have not given him bread. This is not permissible. So in case of Al-Mu'allah for Sunubu, this is not a very Islam, or they have engaged Islam, but they are not absorbed in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to do something in order to get Islam today. When he said to Umar radiallahu anhu, he cancels this, that it is not implemented anymore. And when he was asked, he said, no, Islam is strong. We are not fearful of anybody. So who are we going to be given this, since there are no people to give? So, and at that time, this was what? This was suspended. Not that that group is no more existing, no. But it was suspended in the time of Allah of Allah, and because there were no people to give. Islam then was strong, and Islam was respected by the enemy. Those who were engaged in Islam, they were strong in it. But in the time of the Prophet, Islam acknowledged that level. And that's why we ought to understand what it means as people da'wah. Having the understanding of da'wah. How to do da'wah. At times, if one is not very good at da'wah, at the sake of da'wah, then you do something and you think that what is doing is what is affecting da'wah. Whereas that thing is what is affecting da'wah. The Imam of Allah and stopped it during his own time. The Prophet of Allah and Allah carried it out during his own time. Does this mean that Umar ibn al-Awwal is cancelling what Allah has legislated? No. Because there were no beneficiaries of these in the time of Umar ibn al-Awwal. And the reason why this was legislated, the reason in the time of Umar ibn al-Awwal was not in existence. So Umar ibn al-Awwal had to suspend this. And in the time of Uthman ibn al-Awwal as well, so one mu'allaf is kulubuhu, that will furriqah, wal ghalimin. Like the ghalimun. The ghalimun or the riqah are of two types. Riqah, those who are slaves. It is permissible for the Islamic government to set free some slaves, that is the living slaves, those who have been captured and enslaved by the kuffar. It is permissible for the Islamic State to take out of the wealth of zakat in order to set free these slaves. Or slaves that are Muslims, under Muslims. Maybe the Muslim bought the slave from the castle, for instance, or bought it from another Muslim, for instance. So this Muslim slave, is it okay for one to set them free? Yes, it is okay for one to set them free from the wealth of zakat. Likewise, a slave
that the master has allowed to work in order to free himself or herself, but he's been able, she's been able to pay part of the money. So he needs of some money in order to complete this. The Islamic government can also give this place known as al-Mukata or al-Mukata or give him the remaining part of what is needed in order to be free. This is also permitted. So a good record. What does that mean? The guy who gives a those who are indebted. Indebtedness can also be of tax. Somebody is indebted on behalf of some people. Take for instance, two tribes, maybe they are fighting, to the extent that this has become a very serious issue, maybe killing one another and things like that. But with some money, they can settle this problem. Somebody now decides to hear this thing. He tells them, "Oh, I will give you this money to stop this problem, this quarrel among you, this person not hear this thing." Regardless of whether the person who has bought this thing is rich or not, if hear it, they now go to the Islamic government, and this case is known. It is permissible to also give such a person what he has borne in order to settle this problem. This is what is permissible. So this is called al-gharimun, the gharimun. This is what is permissible. Now this person that has borne this, he shouldn't take more than is needed. He shouldn't take more than what is needed. If you only take what is needed, then if there is anything that is surplus with him, you should return it back. Because he's been given in order to settle this. So if he has settled that and there is something left, it is not his own property, he should return it back. If he did this, he has fallen under those who take zakah and they are not right, or they are not qualified to take it. The person will be allowing the nafsi, is invested, not for the sake of some people, but for his own sake. Take for instance, maybe he bought a house and he's unable to pay. Or if he gets loan from somebody in order to rent an accommodation and is not being able to get this, what the cost is worth is rarely, he will get it. Such a person can be given from the zakah. Where he goes to the government, he can give it from the zakah. Or if the owner of the zakah knows this, he can also give such a person from the zakah, not to settle his debt. So this he has done it for himself. But if he has done it for the purpose of things that are haram, it should not be given. Somebody is indebted, but his indebtedness is as a result of engaging in something that is haram. Then in that case, it should not be given. Or his indebtedness is as a result of partaking with something that is mubah, that is permissible, but it's not something that is necessary. Take for instance, in this country of ours, to get a car is not a necessity. It's something that is good, it's mubah, it's permissible. But for you to say you want to get a car, that's not a necessity. So somebody now gets a loan in order to get a car.
so you will get it. Can you now go to those who are distributing zakat? Tell them that I'm indebted. So because I got a car. In that case you say no. It's not permissible. Because a lot of people in this country do not have cars. Unlike in a society where having a car is like a need. There are some societies that when you have a car, you are not engaging yourself in the luxury. Take for instance in Saudi Arabia, for instance, some of you who have a car, yes, it costs a luxury. Like one of the mashayikh said, that before you can marry in Saudi Arabia, you have to own a car. In order to take your wife and your children, your family to places where they want to go, take them to market, take them to... So then this is not luxury. It becomes luxury when you are talking about the types of cars. So it becomes what luxury when you are talking about it. But just to have a car in order to take your family to the places where they want to go, this to them is not a luxury. So this, for instance, if somebody gets a loan here in order to get a car, such a person will be assisted in paying that from the wealth of the car. But this may not be applicable here, because here in Nigeria, if you have a car, that is not something that is a luxury here. So some of you get a loan order to get a car here, it's not going to be those who are in charge of the car wealth that is giving from that. Why? So because Allah was on me and the Daimun. Though this will not be correct. So if the person has used it to go, take care of something that is important, something that is more or less a need. This, even if it's for his own sake, if it is for his own sake, there is nothing wrong in giving in for the zakat in order to take care of this person. But if something that is haram, we don't assist him. But if something that is just ordinary mubah, that we can say what a kind of luxury. It's not haram to make use of this, but what is a luxury, it's not a necessity. Neither is it what or we can call it a need. So when we talk about al-gharimin, so al-gharimun can be somebody who is indebted for the sake of other people in order to settle this fruit. So you need somebody in order to settle this fruit among or within some people. This should be given from the zakat. Likewise, if it is for his own needs, it should be given for the zakah as well. Then, وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ in the cause of Allah. Now, anything that is good is فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Anything that is not good is فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. المعروف. All of these are what? فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. But the فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ mentioned here, is this everything that is good, that you are encouraged to do, that is being referred to building mosques, building hospitals, building schools, paving the roads, and so on and so forth? All these things are good things. So are you going to say all these are good things that is being referred to? What we don't talk about scholars are upon is that this is not true. The people in Islam being referred to here have to do with the jihad. Have to do with what? The jihad. When I say jihad, you know what I mean by jihad. So, the people in Islam, yes, is the jihad. This is what majority of the scholars are upon. However, some people or some scholars are of the opinion that the Fisabilillah encompasses everything that is what, that is good, such as units of schools, hospitals, roads, and so on and so forth. All this we can spend zakah on then. But this wallahu alam is not correct. Why? The reason why it's not correct is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in Namah Sadaqatu fi sabilillah. Sadaqatu is what? It's fi sabilillah. So there is no need mentioning Namah Sadaqatu fi Qura'a wal Masakin wal Amilina wal Mu'allaf al-Qurubu wa Qurubu. Allah is what? Mention all because all the things that Allah has mentioned, they all fall in fi sabilillah in the general term. So when Allah said wa fi sabilillah, that is the fi sabilillah is mentioned here, it's am, it's general. Urida biha bihi al-khusus. What is meant by this am is al-khusus specific. It's talking about a specific fi sabilillah, not the general one. Because all that is mentioned is fi sabilillah. When you give to the poor, fi sabilillah. When you give to the miskin, fi sabilillah. When you give to the zalimun, fi sabilillah. Because ordinary the zakah that you give should be given with the intention of what? Of doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When somebody brings out, for instance, 20,000 out of his pocket and gives somebody his peace, in his intention is by the what? That this is what he does. Ordinary gift. His intention may be that this is what for our part. His intention may be that this is called a parajida. So called a parajida or ordinary for the part, this is what? This is fixed religion because you are doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why you have to understand it, you have to ponder over it. The Prophet Allah said, من قاتل لتكون كلمة الله هي العليا فهو في سبيل الله. The one who fights so that the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the highest. فهو في سبيل الله. Such a person is not fighting in the cause of Allah. So the fi sabilillah mentioned here has to do with the mujahideen. However, is this restricted to the jihad of sword or weapons, or it also includes the jihad of ilm, the jihad of knowledge? A lot of the majority of Qadiriyah and a lot of mashayikh, they are of the opinion that this encompasses the jihad of faith as well, the jihad of knowledge. A student of knowledge of the deen, knowledge of the deen, that has devoted themselves can be given from the zakah. And so by devoting yourself to that, they will not be able to engage in some other things. So somebody who has devoted himself for the knowledge of the deen, for the most scholars, they have the opinion that this is what jihad with ilm. Just as we have jihad with faith, this is also jihad al-ilm. And at times, jihad al-ilm may be more needed, so to say, than the jihad of faith, particularly in the contemporary times. When the enemies of Islam, they attack Islam through various things. So, we need those who also counter these people, who refute the heresies, who refute their kufr, by explaining things to people. So, this is what jihad is aiming.
When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu jahidil kuffar wal munafiqin. O Messenger of Allah, fight the kuffar and the munafiqun. The jihad of the kuffar is not equivalent as the jihad of the munafiqun. It was not reported that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was killing the munafiqun. Was that reported? So, the jihad of the munafiqun would be the jihad of hell. Exposing them. Warning people against their end if they are evil. They were of the Muslims. They would go with them in the same mosque. Only they would give zakah at times. Only that the prayer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when the Qawmi of Salah to come, Qusala. When they go for the Salah, they will go Qusala, lazily. And when they offer this zakah, Allah said, وَلَا يُتِقُونَ إِلَّا هُمْ كَرُمُونَ. So they are not interested in what? In giving fast, in giving sabah, in spending. So when people look at them, people will think that what they are spending for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ جَاهِدِ الْكُفَّارَ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ وَاغْلُظْ عَلَيْهِمْ. The jihad of the kuffar will be worked with sword and heart and knowledge. And that's why the Quran is going to be the big jihad against the kuffar. Likewise, the munafiqun. And that's why, for fi sabilillah, it is not meant by the jihad. Jihad is meant by the so both jihad of faith and jihad of hell. And that's why most Sikh cancelled the opinion that we can also treat the students of knowledge or those who are devoted and their appliance for the spreading of the deen are those who are also qualified to take from the zakah in order to assist them. Some scholars are of the opinion that no, when we say jihad, yes, jihad, the teacher that we refer to here is jihad of faith. In jihad of faith, but jihad of faith is not included. They said, students of knowledge, of those who are called up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can take from zakah, not as being what has been among the mujahideen, but as being fuqara. So those who are fuqara amongst them can take for their what? For their being fuqara. Innama fuqara'un lil fuqara'u wal masakin. For their being fuqara or masakin, not because they are spreading knowledge of the deen, or because they devoted their time, they have to learn about the deen. For Allah alam, those who are of the opinion that they can take because of the spreading of the deen and because of learning the deen, their opinion is more correct. Is this applicable to an army, the one who has devoted his time in order to do a job? He will perform nafila, he will recite the Quran in the masjid, being tilawah of the Quran, doing a lot of nawafil. Is this also extended to such a person? The answer is no. Because Al-Arabic, the one who is worshipping, being ibadah, is doing for his own sake, not for the sake of the Ummah. But things that those who are spending their time for the sake of Ummah, these people, they can be compensated from the zakat. Those who are spreading the knowledge of the day, those who are enlightening the people about the deen, so they can be given from the zakah according to most scholars. However, some say some scholars of the opinion that no, they shouldn't be given from zakah unless they are fuqara. But there is something that you also ponder on here.
The fact that they spread a tune from knowledge or recorder to Allah can be given from zakat according to the opinion of the lot of scholars. That doesn't mean it should be mismanaged. I think somebody may write a book that is not worth it. But once this book printed, they go to those who are in charge of zakat and say, this is what spreading knowledge. But the book that he has written is not worth it. So this book, or this book, will not be printed in thousands of copies. And those who are collecting, they will not be pursuing majority of this book. They give this book to people free. Those who collect the book, how many people will read it? People just take it and just keep it in their library. They will not open it for once. So we should not be wasting the work of zakat and things like this. If they are to give the gift to those who are reading for the five who are reading the hour of truth, and if they are to publish any book, putting it under Bismillah, the book must be a book that will really benefit the people. Not that because I have written a book now, I want the book to be published, then I'll be looking for those who are in charge of what? Of zakat. They look for publish this with the zakat word, because it is what fits the vision now. Why you have those who are hungry, those who are homeless, those who are jobless, that they are looking for what so they can't find it. Then we are busy printing books that will not be read by people. I mean under what fits the vision now. And that's why you have to consider things very well. The issue of society is something that if not well articulated and well understood, a lot of people may become inmates of hellfire as a result of not handling the issue of zakat very well. Imagine the situation where people are in need of what to eat. A situation where people are jobless. Then people are using the zakat funds in order to bring all kinds of programs. Using it to sponsor things that have to do with their society. What type of thing is this? Why we have in the community those who are hungry, those who do not have what to eat? And we are not diverting the zakat forge to things like this. We are in society where people are hungry, people do not have what to eat. We are using the zakat work in order to give this power, say because we are on Al-Aqimina Alayha. It is not something that is easy. Just this group of people, they come together and so what we are also collecting zakat. The intention aims to be making use of this thing for themselves, not in order to make it reach those who are qualified for it. Say for instance, maybe somebody collects 5 billion naira. And the 5 billion naira, maybe 4 million out of the 5 million naira will be bought or will be bought by them. And when you want to obey against them, he says, why are you preserving us? Alhamdulillah, they are now. At least you have given part of it, the 1 million, remaining 1 million has been given to some other people, and this 4 million we have used it because Al-Amiluna Aliyah. And please, the deen does not fit a particular specific amount for the Amiluna Aliyah. That any person that is Amiluna Aliyah, this is the amount that the person should be given. This is not fixed. So it depends on how the Waliyun Am receive it. And that's where I think the Prophet will give some people much, and apparently will give some people little. It depends on how they own get finance, how they get funds. وفي سبيل الله وابن السبيل likewise ابن السبيل. ابن السبيل is somebody who is worthy, but the person gets to a place and uses his wealth, and it becomes difficult for him to get something to eat. It becomes difficult for him to go back to his place. This is Ibn Sabil. This is Ibn Sabil. If the person knows the place where the zakat fund is, he can go to them and also ask for that. So if we look at this, mention by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you do not find yourself among these groups, please don't take zakat fund. If you take it, what you are eating in your stomach is healthy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this. If one doesn't fall among these categories, one shouldn't take it. This is something that is very, very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say something in order to try us. Maybe you will try to look for some loopholes in order to include ourselves among those who are not entitled to these things. Or we look for some loopholes in order to expose ourselves from something that is prohibited. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you don't speak riba, so people try to exclude some riba transactions, some contemporary riba transactions from the riba that is not prohibited. The fact that one is trying to justify something that one is engaged in doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will justify those things. And that's why our sincerity must be shaped often and often. When you are saying the statement or you are establishing the thing really as a Christian, are you establishing this thing because it favors you? Are you going against something because it doesn't favor you? All this can happen. And that's why the position of being Al-Am, our position of being Al-Da'i, is a very serious position and a very delicate position. Because, as one of the scholars said, وَأَلْأَفْتَكَ الدِّينَ إِلَّا الْمُلُوكَ إِلَّا الْمُلُوكُ وَأَخْبَارُ الصُّورِ وَرُبَانُوَ. Nobody destroys the deen except the rulers, Wahbar al-Sul, and the wicked scholars. Wahbar, likewise the Quran, those who are not scholars, but they have secluded themselves in a place since they are being worshipped. If you look at the most calamities that befall the Ummah, as far as the deen is concerned, it will come through this week. It's either a ruler is trying to legalize something because that thing favors him, or he's trying to prohibit something because that thing doesn't favor him. Regardless of whether that thing is what Allah has said, regardless of whether this is what the Prophet Muhammad Allah has said, then the scholar, the same thing. The scholar may be legalizing something because he wants to satisfy himself, or he wants to justify some of his wins and consciousness. Likewise, the Ruban, those who are engaging in acts of worship that are not permitted with the deen. Now, this verse of Zakat, the recipient of Zakat, which is in Surah Al-Tawbah, was not included here by the author, because the author is interested in bringing a hadith, not ayah. Unlike when you look at the book Riyadh al-Salihin, you bring verses, you bring a hadith. This is just to talk about a hadith,
And that's why he started his whole book with the hadith عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تحل الصدقة لغني إلا لخمسة لعامل عليها أو رجل اشتراها بماله أو غارم أو غاز في سبيل الله أو مسكين تصدق عليه منها فأهدى منها لغني رواه أحمد وأبو داود بن ماجه وصححه الحاكم وأعل بالإرسال. Is this what you have in your book? Now, the hadith says from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is not halal. What is that? As-sadaqah. As-sadaqah is not halal. لغنيين فصبري الغني. What صدقة is being referred to here?
Zakat.
Zakat. As for the voluntary zakat, it is permissible to give it to a ghani. Somebody is a ghani. And to give it to a fakir. Though that some scholars will say it is better to give it to fakir and give it to ghani. It is better to give it to a fakir rather than a ghani. But is it permissible? What most scholars are warning that it is permissible to give sadaqah tatawwu, the voluntary zakah or the voluntary sadaqah, it is permissible to give it to a ghani. But some scholars they prefer, instead of using the word sadaqah, that if you are given sadaqah, it is ready, that it is prepared to say what you are being given or hadiyya. Or you bring something to somebody who is ready, say this is sadaqah, or you have it in your mind that this is sadaqah. Then it is good for you to have it in your mind that this is what hiba, a gift. However, there is nothing that says this is not permission. Somebody gives something to Israeli with the intention of what? Sadaqah. No, and as long as it is not sadaqah wajiba, the zakah. Whether you have the intention of hiba or hadiya, or you have the intention of sadaqah, as long as it is not sadaqah wajiba, then it is permissible. Now, لا تحل الصدقة لغني. صدقة is not permissible for a ghani. What is the definition of a ghani? Who can tell us? The definition of a ghani. Huh? Somebody who asked him us. Yes, this is the best definition of a ghani. As I said, some scholars say a ghani is somebody who has the amount of zakat or the worth of zakat with him. But this can also work, this can be faulted. When you see somebody who has the amount of zakah with him, somebody may have the amount of zakah with him, but he is also in need. He himself is what is entitled to zakah. Take for instance somebody who has, maybe he has about he has a four wives. Say for instance, there are four wives. He has about the let's say 30 children. He was rich before, but you know the calamity befell him and he became poor. So he has what is up to the shop with him, but this is not good enough to cater for his family. So he has what is up to the shop with him, but what is also the result that is in is not enough. That word, that money cannot last for some time. So you cannot compare this man with somebody maybe who has not even value. He doesn't have a wallet. But he has God's. He has something to solve with him as well. So if one will have, if somebody has something to solve with him and he's not yet married, and there is nothing that has afflicted him, it's not invested, such a person will say what? He's ready because he has what is enough for him. What can take care of his eating, drinking, and what? Clothing, his outing. But someone may have up to the sword, but he is indebted. He has up to the sword, but what he has is not enough to take care of him. And that's why the definition of Ghani, given by Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala, is said not to be correct. Some say the Ghani is somebody who has 50 dirhams with him. And when you say 50 dirhams now, you are talking about, let's say, 40,000 naira or so. So the Hadith that specifically mentioned 50 dirhams is not correct. Some say Uqiyya, somebody who has also Uqiyya. Uqiyya is about 50 dirhams as well. So that one is authentic. But this also will not be the correct. And that way, the best definition of the Ghani, when you are looking at somebody who is possessed, when you are looking at somebody who is possessed, who can take that, the best definition of the Ghani is somebody who has what is enough for him. Currency for a period of a year, because the guy is a yearly thing. So what somebody has with him, that is enough for him to take care of him and take care of his family with his money for a period of a year. So such a person is not a Ghani. So such a person is not entitled to Zakat. It's not entitled to Zakat. Any person who has what is enough for him for a period of the year, such a person is not what? It is a Ghani that is not entitled to Zakat. So this is what the best definition of a Ghani. Now we are not talking about somebody who should give Zakat. Somebody who should give Zakat is anybody that has what is up to the sun. Should give Zakat. And that is if the year goes on that thing, if it is what? If it is correct, the year goes on it, if it is farm goes. If it is harvested, if it is livestock, the year goes. If you have kept this thing and the year goes on it, that means you have to what? Give Zakat of it. If it's something that you can't keep, you should have spent it before the year goes on it. But if you have what, kept it for a year, that means it's surplus. That means what? A surplus. And that's why someone who is saving wants to get money. And he's saving it. When he says up to the amount of resource, then the year now goes on that amount again. Oh, what you have is surplus, so he gives that power. The one who gives out of the station, he gives that power. If you also keep the resource, I think you keep the resource, and the year goes on that resource. That is actually surplus. That is the year of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done. But if what you have is up to yourself, but the year is not gone, and it's going before the year goes out, your faith is not what you have to run away from Zakat. Your intention is what? You are in need of that thing and you spend it. No, then your intention is to run away from Zakat. Then we know the hadith of our read on that. So, last of all, those father comes to the Ghani. Father is not permissible for a Ghani to take. So we have understood the meaning of a Ghani. He said, this is the Khan starting, expect five. This is what? This is arm, in general. But it's arm that is maqsood. Arm that is what? In general, which is what? Specified. How this is played. So when you understand that it's not permissible for a Ghani to take from Southern Africa, that is the general statement. But it's not. It's maqsood. he specified that is from people who are exempted from the general rule. What Quran was speak when he talk about am maqsoosun and am urida bihi al-khusus. Am that is what specifies. It's general, but it's what it is specified. Then you have amun urida bihi al-khusus. General, but what is intended by that general statement is what? Is khusus. Is specified. That is the only one thing we mention. But what that thing is mentioned, you understand from this that no, it's not general. The statement is general, but what is intended by it is what? It's not general. So that they will call amun urida bihi al-khusus. But if the specification, so to say, is mentioned, then that is amun maqsus. How this is clear? When Allah said, wa fi sabilillah, the statement is general. We don't fi sabilillah to what? To mean several things. But what is meant here? We said, is those who are doing jihad. So it's general, but those who are meant by or what is meant by that thing is what? It's maqsus. So this one is amun maqsusun. It's general, but what specifies it is also mentioned here. It says, illa al-khamsati, except for five. The amilin alayha. For what is amil alayha? Is the zakah collector. You have said, when we say amil alayha, this is someone who is appointed by the government. And you have explained what makes it necessary for the government to appoint. If the government does not appoint somebody and the person says to be amil alayha, it can work. Decide to eat all the zakat that he collects. Huh? If I collect zakat, 50 million from people, for instance, and I eat everything out, do I have a justification for that? Huh? No. Can I get a loophole? No. If you ask me to bring evidence, I will bring evidence for you. Amilin alayha. And the one that has collected it. And what Allah said was, wal amiluna wal amilina alayha. And what? Al amilu alayha. So nobody can stop me. Nobody can what? Can shake me. And this is the evil that I'm talking about. A lot of societies, they don't have things like this. They collect zakat from people and what? They eat it off. When you want to talk to them, they say what? Al-Amiluna alayha. But if they go through this loophole, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is awaiting them on the day of Qiyamah. All like nobody is appointed by the Islamic government. What the Islamic government to do is what? Is to give him part of what he has collected. How that is clear? The Islamic government will shake him. And that's why it needs what? It needs shaking. That's why scholars who go against society saying what we are doing in Aliyah. This is the area that they are looking at it. This money, this wealth can be what? Can be wasted and can be diverted to personal things. But as I said, if one fears Allah in that job, which is very, very difficult, except for those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assisted, that they only take little amount of it, that will be more for those that are walking around in order to get this thing what done. But for even Mahum, only few people work to do this. So the first topic mentioned by the Prophet of Allah in his hadith is the amilin alayha. Now some of these amilin alayha may be rich. But for the fact that what He has been appointed by the government to collect zakat from people. He has left his time. He should be compensated for that time. And that's why we say we are doing something fi sabilillah, that doesn't mean what? One should not be compensated for it. Because if this should be the understanding, everything would have worked, would have become static. You put your child in madrasa and you expect the teacher to be teaching your child or the children. They don't have anything to eat. Who would want to spend 5-6 hours teaching your children? Almost 2 hours to teach your children. And you say, oh, why are they asking for money? You know, fi sabilillah. The place where you are you working fi sabilillah here, or you are working fi sabil your pocket? And now if you look at the way the Prophet of Allah has placed things, and if Allah has placed things, you know that what this is a serious religion. This is what a serious religion. Those who have participated in the war, they are given from what? The booties of war. And that's why the Prophet of Allah said that any group that goes for war and they get ghanima, they get booties of war, he says, Prophet ta'ajjalu tul say ajrihim, they have gotten to the thought of their rewards. They go for war, they get booties of war, they've gotten to the thought of their rewards. So the remaining one part will be gotten on the day of Qiyam. This is the clear hadith of the Prophet of Allah, which is contained in Sahih Muslim. That doesn't mean it is what? They are doing something that is wrong. But this is also a part of their reward. They are compensated for that because they have left. It now depends on the intention of the person who is doing it. If my intention, for instance, is solely to get what booties of war, I'm not interested in the ajr of the akhirah, and doing this just to get booties of war, then I have nothing except what the booties of war that I get in this world. No reward in the day of Qiyam. There is a hadith in Sunnah Abi Dawud. And tell an imam who wanted to participate in the battlefield, caught somebody, and he suggested to the person that the person should assist him to the battlefield. So that person said, he said, I will give you out of whatever is given. So the person said, Master of man, what will be the share? Let us agree before I assist you. And he said, okay, this is that I'm going to take Rahat Danari, I'm going to take 3 dinars if I go. Whether you are defeated or not, mine to take what? And they went and they won in the battle. When the Prophet of Allah gave that old man his own share, so he gave the man, before he gave the man the 3 dinars, he went to the Messenger of Allah from Allah and said, this is the situation. And this is what the booty. This is my own share of it. I'm not contemplating giving him the 3 dinars that you have agreed upon, or maybe I can give him more than that. The way the man had so much that if he wanted to give him more than the 3 dinars, he could what? Afford that. The Prophet of Allah says, لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنَ الْأَجْرِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ إِلَىٰ ثَلَاثَ دَنَانِيرِ. He doesn't have any reward in this dunya and the akhira except the dinars, the 3 dinars that what? So that man was very interested in what in the ajr. Yes, he participated in the jihad, but he was not interested in the ajr of the akhirah. Rather, he is interested in what? For somebody, he is interested in the ajr of akhirah, but he has to watch. He has to also take care of himself. In a situation like this, it is not wrong for you to collect something without destroying what the intention of what of the akhirah. So the same thing is applicable to the one who is appointed to collect zakat. If his sole intention is not to get money out of it, he will not get anything except that. He will not be rewarded on the day of Qiyamah for collecting zakat, for assisting the government to collect zakat. Likewise, the same thing is applicable to somebody who is teaching people. He has called out his degree. Is it permissible for me to take reward, so to say, or to be compensated by people that I'm teaching? Maybe teaching the Quran or teaching the Ahadith of the Prophet. Is it permissible for me to take from them or not? A lot of scholars are saying no, it is not permissible. A lot of well also said what is permissible. Those who said it is permissible, they do not mean that what you shouldn't have the intention of what akhirah with what you are teaching the people. When you teach people the Quran, your sole intention shouldn't be what? How to make money. When you teach people the Sunnah, your sole intention shouldn't be what? How to make money. If your intention should be that of akhirah, but is it permissible for you to take part of that thing? Is it permissible? Yes, it is permissible. Because it's like what? It's like somebody who is participating in the battlefield. It's like somebody who is also collecting, assisting the government collecting zakat. It's permissible. And what will bring evidences, like the man who gives rukia for people, like the man who, the man who also taught the woman the Quran when he wanted to marry her, and the woman was requesting for mahar, and the man did not have anything, and the Prophet Allah said, what chapter have you memorized? And memorized one, two chapters, said, teach her the chapter that you have memorized. That would be what? That's the mahar. That is the man has collected what? The reward, so to say, from what? The Quran that he has taught. But his intention mustn't be what? Mustn't be solely for this what? This dunya. However, some scholars say, no. Whatever good deed you have done must be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you teach people the Quran, you teach them the Sunnah, you should be saying for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, can you get reward? Can you get something? Yes, you can get something. They also ask that you can get some, but not attached to what the thing that you are doing. So they say that the ruler, for instance, may give you from the basic man. Because what? Where he needs, and he also intends to it. Basic man, the word there is what? Belongs to the Muslims. So belongs to the people. So if the ruler gives you out of the basic man, you are entitled to it. And this is what they will do with this time of the companions of the Prophet Allah. The umara they will give to people from the basic man. If there is something surplus, they give to the people. So the shahid here is that it is permissible to take, to be paid for what one does, whether that is finished or what one does by collecting zakah or by teaching people is permissible. It is permissible to do this, but one must have good intention with it. It shouldn't be solely that what you're interested in that thing. And that's why when some people say we are establishing madrasa, I'm establishing this and this. Your intention shouldn't be that I want to make money. Your intention should be what? Because I want to teach the people the knowledge of the deen. Though I don't have what or vanity to also send for myself, or to also take care of myself, I will be getting something out of this. There is nothing wrong in it, according to the more correct opinion of the scholar. Then those who are also the students, they shouldn't say, okay, because this is peace of Allah, and we shouldn't be, look, this shouldn't be their own attitude. Their own attitude should watch that they should be. they should assist in making things easy. In countries like Saudi Arabia, for instance, most of their immigrants are this age. The teachers, they are even after their retirement, they are paid. But here, most of their imams, the masjids, how many masjids, how many communities today give their imam something? And you expect that imam to lead you throughout the door or ask you where we shall rock and so on. Some of them give those, the very token amount they be giving the imam 5,000 every month. So do what? The imam that you are given 5,000 every month, don't expect such an imam to leave you without any prayer. Because that will not be enough. Will not be enough to take care of his family. So these are areas that we ought to look at. We have read so many ahadith which encourage us to give. We have also read so many ahadith which encourage us not to be active. So we understand these together. So the Prophet of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "La tahillu sadaqa." Sadaqa is not permissible. The ghani is illa the khamsa. It's not permissible for the ghani except for five people. The amil alayha, what is amilu alayha? Open it is up, it is rich. We are figured to take the hadith. Umar radiallahu anhu, the Prophet of Allah who gave him, and he said to the Prophet of Allah, Allah, Ya Rasulullah, A'tihi man wa afqar min. Give it to the one who is poorer than me. And the Prophet of Allah said, Ya Umar, ما جاءك من هذا المال فخذه وتناوله. Whatever comes to you of this world, Umar, take it. Take it. Keep it. And if you don't want to keep it, a sort of being in this Al-Sabaqah. So Umar believes that what he had something with him. That's the fact that what he was also collecting zakat from people. That's the fact that what he was doing something for the Dawla. The Prophet of Allah said, he told him, take it. This same hadith Umar narrated is to somebody of the land in Sa'adi when he appointed him as one of the zakat collectors. So this man has said to Umar of the land, Umar, I have so many plots of land, I have so many camels, so I'm not in need of this thing that you have given me. Umar just said it to him, this hadith, that this thing that you are saying, I have said it to the Prophet of Allah, and this is what he told me. So that man is ghani. They said that Umar of Allah anhu, he asked him to take office. So it's not compulsory that when somebody is doing something vis-a-vis Islam, it's not compulsory that he shouldn't take anything at all. If he decides that he's not going to take anything, if he's given, that he will reject it, that is his own decision. It's not the Sharia that has said, watch, when you are doing something, you shouldn't take anything. Say to somebody who is an imam of the masjid and is being compensated by the government, for instance, for his time, if they want to reject it, that they don't want anything, that is his own decision. It's not compulsory or we say recommendable that what? They should reject it. If it is compulsory or recommendable, then the proper country should have what? Excuse Umar for the law. Said Majaka in other man for Udu Watam Awadu. Likewise, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Awadu Ishtara Abi Mali, the second person who is the leader of the Ghani, but he has bought it with his wealth. Say, for instance, somebody who deserves Sadaqah against Sadaqah. For what is given, maybe I like that thing. And now, if you want to tell it, you must say yes. He now tells it to me. Abi Ghani, that thing that is given to him as Sadaqah, Wajiba, I now buy it from him. Am I sinful? No, I'm not sinful. Have I collected Sadaqah Wajiba? No. Because I've bought this from him. Al-Gharimin, or Al-Gharim, somebody is indebted. As you have explained, maybe the person is indebted for the sake of other people. Or he's indebted for his own sake. He has what he can watch, what he can eat, what is enough for him for a period of a year. However, he's indebted. But if he should take care of this indebtedness, he will become what? Poor, he will not have anything. In fact, what he has is will not be enough to us to take care of his debt. But the consequence is fact that what is gaining can also take from some of us. Our God is in Sabeel Allah, or somebody who is God is in Sabeel Allah, somebody who is fighting jihad in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that he's rich doesn't mean what? He should not be given out of his zakat. How this king, how somebody is a miskin, is poor, he has, but what he has is not enough for him. So Siddiq alayhi minha, zakat is given to him as a miskin, but fa'ahda minha lidani. He not gives out of what is given to him as zakat, he not gives to what is a need. How this is said. So the Zani did not buy it from him, rather he took it from him and bought it as a gift. So can somebody who is poor can he give somebody who is rich? Huh? A poor person, can he give a rich? Yes. A poor person can give a rich. Can a poor person do sadaqah part for a rich person? This is also permissible. But the only thing is that when we say somebody who is poor, is given somebody who is rich a gift, that gift most often is to get something that is not better. How is this question? If a poor person is given somebody what, who is rich, most often this type of gift is to get something that is not better. You know the story of the man, the Arab Bedouin, so to say, who gave the Prophet Allah Salam, and he was expecting the Prophet Allah to give him back. Now the attitude of the Prophet Allah and his practice is that when you give him something, he wants to reciprocate it. As Aisha of Allah has said, that the Prophet Allah, yakbaru al-adiyya wa yusifu alayha. He will take gift, but he will also compensate you for whatever you have. And he will not take further up, as we shall reach. When you give the person further up, he will not accept it. But when there is a gift, he will take it. But when he takes this gift from people, he will also compensate them back. Because he would not want a situation where somebody will have a kind of manu on him. After all, the one that gave it to him, he will not want things like that. So he will compensate and he encourages to also reciprocate, compensate any person who give us. This is what will make what love increase among us. But is it compulsory to us to do that? No. But if somebody who is now poor is now giving somebody who is rich, most likely his intention is what? To get something better from that person. Not like somebody is just given his equal in order to increase in what? In love. So, somebody is a poor person and is given for the power. And when he is given for the power, he gives it to somebody who is very. If they get it, there is no sin in that. He has not taken zakat. He has received it as well as he gives. I hope you can see for the hadith of Barira. رضي الله عنها who was given صدقة and he gave it to watch to the house of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم but Aisha رضي الله عنها thought that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would not like to take something of صدقة and woman if it was given to somebody else before it gets to him and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said يا الله صدقة it is صدقة to her ولنا هدية But it is what? Abiyya, a gift from Barira to us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanaka rabbana walhamdulillah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik.
Na'am. things to say.
That is what you are supposed to believe before. You have not succeeded in what in giving it. So that's why one is going to be. But for that person that you have given is your own wakil. It's not